30 years is a long time. It's a long time for any of us.
I have a fan in there.
Oh, there you go. Brilliant, well done. 30 years is a long time. It's a long time for any of us. And no one understands that more than Liverpool fans. Yes, on Wednesday, Liverpool lifted the Premier League title, the first Premier League title they've ever lifted, and the first sort of first division or top division title that they've lifted in 30 years. Now, if you go back the previous 30 years, Liverpool lifted that title, the top division title, 13 times. So it was a long time to wait. And I know for those who are Liverpool fans, you're over the moon about what's been achieved. But how has it been achieved? That's the question. And will it be achieved again? That's another question for speculation. But the difference really, if you look at it, would be the manager. Liverpool before have had some amazing players, but the difference has been Jurgen Klopp. He took over and in the space of, I think it's 4 or 5 years, he's taken them year on year. They've made improvements and they've invested money in their players to be able to win the Premier League title. And they've done very well. Last year they won the Champions League. So they're definitely doing very well. And there's lots of good things. And I want to say that leadership matters. Now, it's not just about Jurgen Klopp. It's about the other members of staff that he's got in his team. It's about the management. It's about the players. It's the leaders on the pitch. Actually, this is a team effort. But Jurgen Klopp has really managed to create the right environment for success. And leadership matters. In fact, John Maxwell says that everything rises and falls on leadership. And this morning, we're going to look at leadership. We're going to look at leadership matters. And I want to encourage you that whether you consider yourself a leader or not, you are a leader. John Maxwell, in his great book, Developing the Leader Within You, says that leadership is very simply influence. And all of us influence others. And I want to say that it's important that we look at what Peter has to say here this morning, because we all choose people who we're going to follow. And we need to recognise within those people the characteristics that we're going to look at this morning. We need to recognise those to know, actually, these are the kind of people we should be following. But secondly, as we look at our own lives and we look to be positive influencers and lead others, whether we have the title or not, doesn't really matter. Actually, we look to lead others. We need to look at these characteristics for ourselves. So we're going to turn this morning, we're continuing our Living in Hope series, and we're going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're just going to read the first 5 verses. And it says this: "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that's going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." I've got 5 things I want to say this morning, so we're going to go through them quite quickly. They're just so important. And I love the way Peter starts this. He seeks to identify himself with those who are elders in the church. They are the main sort of sense of church leadership, those who carry responsibility, were called elders. And Peter seeks to identify with them in three ways. He talks about being a fellow elder. He's a fellow elder. He's one of you. As a witness of the sufferings of Christ, that he's witnessed it. And as well as being a partaker in the glory that's going to be revealed. He speaks to them like, hey, I'm with you. I know what you do. And he speaks to them. And the things that he now says are really important. And the first thing I want to say is that he's biblical leadership is about shepherding. He says, I exhort you, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. Now, that this image of a shepherd is quite prevalent in the Bible. And I'm going to turn to Ezekiel chapter 34. And this was many years before. And God speaks against those who are leaders in Israel. He speaks against them and brings accusations to them because they weren't shepherding well. And it says that in chapter 34, it says, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, even to the leaders, thus says the Lord God, our shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding them yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Well, there's some, God is speaking to those who are leading, saying you're not shepherding. You're not actually caring for the sheep. Jesus spoke of hired hands, those who shepherds would hire to look after the sheep. But actually, when trouble came, they didn't own the sheep. So they would be out there if a wolf or a lion would come. They would not care for the sheep. They would care for their own life. Whereas a shepherd would have much more care for their livelihood. And biblical leadership is about shepherding. It's about caring for the sheep. It's about giving yourself. It's about caring. And this is so key. And actually, our understanding of shepherding needs to not be based on what we might see if we went to an area of the UK where there's lots of shepherds. They drive them with dogs, barking around. Actually, Middle Eastern shepherding is the shepherd speaks or blows a whistle and the sheep follow. The shepherd leads and the sheep follow. What a picture of great leadership. The second thing that Peter says here is that biblical leadership is done willingly. He says, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Leadership shouldn't be reluctant or being forced into leading something. It should be something that's done willingly from our heart, that's filled with the joy of leading others, of leading that life, of walking in the path and the promises of God over your life. It's not done under compulsion. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light in Matthew 11. And there must be a recognition that actually leading a church or being a leader within the church carries quite a lot of pressure at times. And we need to recognise that at times there may be, it may be difficult, or it may feel like you're going through the motions. And maybe for some of you, even now, you're leading in areas and you feel, actually, I'm just going through the motions here. And when that starts to happen, that's time to readdress some priorities in your life, to have a little look at, what am I doing? Why am I feeling like the weight is heavy? And I think taking time away and getting before God, spending time with Him, is the key to leading willingly and joyfully. And if you're tired, if you know, actually I'm not doing this willingly, it's hard work, then actually taking time to come back, to readdress some priorities, to change things, take a holiday, whatever. Actually, that's a time to find rest and refreshment in God, which will then help and equip you to lead willingly and joyfully. And that's so key for each of us, whether we're leading churches, whether we're in that sense, or whether we're leading in places of work, or you're leading at home or other things. If you feel that actually it's becoming a real burden and real hardship, then you need to talk to someone, get some help, get some input, but also find ways of carving out time to be with God, to find in Him your rest and refreshment. The next thing it says to us is that biblical leadership is servant-hearted. It's not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Shameful gain, it's not, you don't lead because, well, there could be many reasons you could want to lead. It's not unheard of people leading because of financial gain. You know, we're not exempt from those challenges that we see. But actually, maybe one of the challenges is that to lead for a sense of actually importance. Oh, if I was that person, I would feel more important. Actually, that's feeding you, not the people. And this is something that's a challenge, I suppose, for all leaders. But actually, looking at, actually, how can I be servant-hearted, give myself for those in my care? Now, I know many of you do this in many different ways. Many of you give yourself. When I talk to you, I see in the ways you give yourself for the sake of others. And it's just inspiring. Servant-hearted leadership. Those who are under you, those who you're leading, know, actually, this person's really for me. They just want the best for me. They're helping me. Wow, what a place where fruitfulness can flourish. And Peter's written this section. He's spoken about suffering. Suffering's coming. And actually, suffering will affect the whole church, but there will be an extra pressure on those who are leading the church. We know that those who want to bring disruption often target the leaders, target those who carry responsibility, because that's how you're going to disrupt. So they were facing this, and Peter wants to encourage them to keep leading and keep leading well. And the fourth thing he speaks about is the biblical leadership is leading by example, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Being examples, leading by example. Not domineering, not being bossy, not lording it over people. Hey, I'm the boss. No, actually leading by example. And that's it. That's that picture of the shepherds, the Middle Eastern shepherd who walks and leads by example and the sheep follow. When Paul wrote to Timothy, who was a younger leader, he said to Timothy, Timothy 1:4-12, he said, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. So talk about that. People won't despise you if they see the outworking of your faith, if they see the way you set an example. And actually, that's what often inspires us about leaders, isn't it? We see someone who really lives it out and we say, hey, I want to follow you. I want to follow you because I see that you're doing this and I want to follow in your footsteps. I can remember when I used to manage a gym in Bromley, and in the morning shift particularly, the first probably couple of hours of your day was spent cleaning the gym, getting it nice and clean. And I used to prefer working early mornings than late nights. So when I would get there, I would work my socks off. I managed the gym, but I would work my socks off to get it super clean because I wanted it clean. And I had a pride of, actually, I want to make this clean. And I can remember on a couple of occasions, the customers would say to me, no one else cleans like you do. You really go for it. And you know, I get sweaty in the morning or what have you. But actually, it was leading by example that actually I may be the person who's the manager here, but actually I care and I want to do what you're doing and lead you by example. And it's really important that we lead by example in all areas of life. If you're a parent and you're bringing up children, you lead by example. If you're teaching them kindness, so you've got to be kind, you know, it's those sorts of things. But actually it's caught, it's seen, it's like a living example. That's what Jesus came, he was incarnate, he had flesh, he was a living example for us to follow in his footsteps, to see how he interacted with people. And Peter had seen Jesus himself and saw the way he led, and now he's inspiring that next generation. The final thing is, well, biblical leadership is humble. It says in verse 5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We want to experience God's grace. We want to experience it as a people. We want to experience that undeserved favour of God. And it says we're humble. I don't know whether it's me or whether it's a Western mindset or what, but actually I think so much in terms of hierarchy and climbing up the ladder. And I think the way we talk sometimes, we think about, oh, well, what's the next stage of the progression in your career? What's your next step up? And we think about climbing up and that actually we're more important if we're higher. And I think the biblical example sort of turns that round. Actually, we are all valued. Even Peter, as he spoke earlier in the letter, we looked at it a couple of weeks ago. He says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. God gives us different grace to do different things. And that's something that's incredibly beautiful as the church operates as it's supposed to, that actually there's a humility within each part to actually recognise that we're all given gifts. And as we use those gifts, whether they seem more important, they're not. Actually, it's all about us all using our gifts for his glory. And I've been just incredibly blessed and just been reminded of just over this time, the amazing people of Unity Church who serve so well. I want to name just a couple, actually. Lynn Price, I've just been so blessed by the way that you've typed the sermons every week. Must take an incredible amount of time to do that and to put things together. But what a blessing that I can send that out to the various, to those who require them, and they can access what we're doing where they can't get online. What a blessing, using your gift and serving the church. Peter Bell, you've just been really great with various things. The day of prayer, just getting people signed up, you've just taken that on, and that is just such a blessing and such an encouragement, the way that's been happening. All of those serving the community fridge, I know Liz and Neil have been carrying that, and the Moulton family, but there are so many others. Bavisha, I know you've been serving Nirmal. There's others from the community. What a way to just practically demonstrate God's love and God's care for the community. And it's as we just serve in our own little ways and our own using our gifts for God's glory that actually this is something incredible that we're building. And it's as we do that with humility, recognizing that no responsibility, no gift is more important. It's actually just how we use our gifts for God's glory. So if you're called to lead a church, or if you're called to lead a nation, you are no more important in God's purposes than those who are called to serve in other ways. It's actually all about us using the gifts that God's given us. And as we have humility, that helps us all to flourish together. Peter speaks to those who are younger, and he says, likewise, you are younger, be subject to the elders. And that's important, I think, because you're younger, you need to learn actually that submission's important, and actually respecting your leaders, getting alongside them, allowing them to speak into your life, allowing them to help shape you, will really help you as you step into all the things that God has for you in the future. And I'd recommend that, you know, if you are younger, and find someone who can speak into your life, find someone who can help you walk the path that God's calling you to. Now, Peter kind of finishes by, well, we actually missed it. Verse 4, he says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Leading well is rewarding. There's eternal reward for those who lead well. There's eternal reward for those who use their gifts well. And we're living for that reward. We're living for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and knowing that as we stand before him that day and we've lived our lives well for him, that he will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. And it's that chief shepherd, that reminds us who we're following. Many people's favourite psalm is Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Those shepherds that were shepherds of Israel that were rebuked by the prophet Ezekiel. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you ruled them. Think about Jesus. The weak he has strengthened, the sick he has healed, the injured he has bound up, the strayed he's brought back, the lost he has sought. He is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. That's what he does. That's what he did. And as we read this passage, I was just so reminded of Peter's encounter with Jesus. Peter denied him on the night he was betrayed and crucified. He denied him, and days after his resurrection, Jesus gets together with Peter and he restores him and he commissions him. And he says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know everything, and you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." And it's that commission to Peter. And I believe that God wants to commission some of us afresh to leading, to taking that responsibility, that actually as we respond to that great love of God that we sang about, we're ready to respond. We're ready to respond to you, God. Actually, part of that response of praise and worship is a call out to mission. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the one who left the 99 to find the one that was lost. It's a mission thing. And Jesus says to Peter as he reinstates him and commissions him and says, "Feed my sheep. Take responsibility, lead, be that shepherd." And I want to encourage you, there will be areas where each and every one of us is leading. We have influence over others, and we need to take those opportunities to lead and take those opportunities to lead, to shepherd others, to do it willingly, to do it with joy, to do it servant-heartedly, to lead by example, and to lead humbly, knowing that there's a great reward for us. I want to encourage you with that this morning. I want to encourage you, if you're feeling a bit weaker and a bit frailer and a bit tired because it's been a tough time, try where you can to find some time with the chief shepherd. Have that sense of just encountering him afresh and him refreshing you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one who is shepherding us, leading us through to green pastures. Lord, even when we walk through tough times, through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us, Lord, and we thank you for just your great promises, Lord. Thank you that you will never leave us or forsake us. Thank you, Lord, that we're living for your glory. Thank you, Lord, that we will see you again. And Lord, we want to live for that great eternal reward. And we want to be those who are also good shepherds, who follow you and look after and care for those who you've placed in our lives, for us to influence positively those who come across our paths. Lord, we pray, Lord, would you strengthen us? And Lord, for those who are tired and have a lot of weight to carry, Lord, I just want to pray that you would come and meet with them by your Spirit now. Come just pour out your oil on them afresh. Pour out that water of the Spirit afresh. Lord, refresh dry places, Lord, and just pray that there will be times to have in your presence where it can be refreshed, re-envisioned, Lord, recommissioned for your purposes. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.